you're in the 06010.
Welcome in to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast presented by Geico. I am Daniel Dopp, sitting in the host seat today. To my left, the handsome Mike Clay joins me. To Mike Clay's left, the exquisite Stefania Bell. Stefania, it's good to have you here with us.
And you know what? I think that, it's good. That's very good energy since you are sitting in the host seat.
Sure.
That, you know, what you put out, you get back.
So, that's exactly true.
I appreciate you, Daniel.
Absolutely. I appreciate you, too.
I don't know. You called her exquisite. What did you say about me?
I said you were handsome.
Handsome. Okay,
I mean,
good.
Come yeah. on.
I missed that part.
Yeah.
I was thinking about stats. I know. Say.
I wanted. I think exquisite's better.
You think so?
You deserve it.
Well, it is better.
So? It is. Yeah.
But I mean, you
well,
still,
it is.
Well,
it is
say?
Better.
Still, he
I'm
gave
just,
you
I'm just
compliment.
Fishing for whatever I can get here.
Okay.
It's so good. We are here to get you guys ready for your Week 14 playoff matchups. It's going to be a great week. We are really excited about all this. And in all honesty, we just have so much stuff to get to. We are going to dive right in. We're not going to have any time for nonsense
well, hold on,
today.
Because I see the prompter there says he D Rop. The bum, and I want to know why you didn't say that.
Oh, you were curious why I didn't read straw man's lines on the prompter.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, I will be hosting the fantasy show later today, so maybe we'll get a little straw man cameo in there. But
okay.
For this show, we're going to start it off with Stefania, as we always do, Stefania, because there are a number of updates that we need around the COVID situation within the NFL, starting with a pair of Steelers activated off the COVID list on Wednesday.
Well, it's a pair of players, not a pair of Steelers,
oh.
but it's okay. James Conner is a Steeler,
oh, yes.
and he was activated off the COVID list. Mark Andrews, a Raven, was activated off the COVID list. Mark Andrews plays on Monday night. We obviously had concerns about both of them, given their health history, so the fact that they were both activated is great news and eligible to play.
Okay, so how about when we see this, Mike, you're looking at James Conner. Obviously, we've seen Benny Snell the last couple of weeks. Are you rolling James Conner out there, you know, like there's no issue whatsoever, not worried about him, and he is a starter for you this week?
I think, he's RB20 on my board, so I think it's probably a long shot that you have a better option, at least if you're filling out an RB1, an RB2, and a flex spot. He's probably going to be one of your best three options there. Look, he had 7 top 20 fantasy weeks in 10 games earlier this season when he was playing. So he's been a kind of a solid presence, even if he hasn't had that ceiling we kind of hoped for. 99 yards on 16 touches in his last game against Jacksonville. I think that's notable because there were some concerns there, right? Volume was down a little bit. Efficiency was down a little bit. But he did get back on track to some extent in that one. And by the way, you think Bills, you think very good defense. You know, I'm a little intimidated by that. But they are top 12 in fantasy points allowed to running backs this season over the past 8 weeks. And over the past month. So it's a recurring theme that they haven't really been good against that position. So Conner, for me, yeah, I think you're starting him if you can.
Love it. All right. Get James Conner in your lineups. Stefania, now a pair of teammates that we're going to talk about. Obviously, some Week 14 COVID concerns around some Panthers pass catchers.
All right. The Panthers had the most recent outbreak, if you will, following their bye week. And we have DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel, two top receivers for Carolina, on the list. Now, there was a report that Moore actually spent the bye week rehabbing his ankle, and he was improving from a physical standpoint. Both of them appear to be the high-risk close contacts. If that's the case, 5 days of testing, they could potentially return. Stay tuned, in other words, for their status.
Okay. All right, let's move on here to Christian McCaffrey, because everybody has been waiting to find out whether or not CMC can be back in their fantasy lineups. Stefania, do fantasy managers have hope that they will finally have Christian McCaffrey after waiting what feels like all season long to be able to unleash him?
Well, look, it was Matt Rhule who told us to feel confident, right? You know, even we saw it, we got a tease in week 12. There was talk about him maybe traveling with the team. Ultimately, even though he's listed as questionable, never really felt like he had a shot to play, knowing the bye week was coming up, knowing they've been conservative with him so far. So he comes off the bye week and we're like, okay, this is it. He's going to fully practice and we're going to get him back this week. And then pops up on the injury report with a thigh injury, and it actually tightened up on him during practice yesterday. So now we have a new concern for Christian McCaffrey. It's not really clear yet whether this is something that would force him to sit on the sideline for another week or not. Thursday and Friday become really important in terms of his status.
Man. All right, Mike Clay. So here's my question to you. It's the fantasy playoffs. It's win or go home. Christian McCaffrey starts on Sunday. Are you starting him in your fantasy lineup?
Is that a real question?
Okay. So now the question is,
you just ask me that?
So now that's just the introductory question to get out of the way. So now the question is, if Christian McCaffrey doesn't play on Sunday, where would you have Mike Davis for the fantasy playoffs?
I want to talk about McCaffrey first.
Oh my gosh. I swear.
All right. Well, the way you presented the question, like, what am I supposed to say? No?
You're supposed to say yes.
Of course you start Christian McCaffrey. Come on. Actually, I do want to talk about him for a second, just to talk about how insanely good he's been this season. Like, think about this. 18 or more carries, 25 or more fantasy points, and a total of 6 touchdowns in 3 games. Can you imagine if he was healthy this season? He'd be having a year just like last year, where he was just dominant and easily the number one scoring running back. It's insane how good he has been when he's played. So, yes, of course, you play him. The guy has 22 or more fantasy points in 16 of his past 17 games. The exception to that was 17. I mean, what a bust week, right? You get 17 points out of your running back. Rough one for sure. That was last season. So, that's part one. Part two is, yeah, if he's out, you stick with Mike Davis. He has 18 and 21 touches in his past 2 games. He's an RB2 option. He's not quite as dominant as he was earlier this season, but no question you start him. But yes, Daniel, you start Christian McCaffrey.
Sometimes you just got to say it plain and simple, Mike Clay. You just make it really easy. That's
Nobody's
all you got to do.
That question. Nobody.
All right, Stefania, here's a question I am asking. Josh Jacobs out last week, hoping to play this week, but what's the latest that we have on Josh Jacobs?
Well, not practicing to start the week. And I think if you go back to the latest from John Gruden, it certainly didn't sound that encouraging. And we talked about this earlier, that he had a group of guys that were out. And he said, based on what he saw last week, he was already projecting that they wouldn't likely be ready for this week. Now, it could have been a frustration, could have been just him being pessimistic and hoping that that would change as the week went on. But so far, no Josh Jacobs sighting in practice.
Okay, so Mike, that lends to the question. Devontae Booker, we have seen him a number of times taking over for Josh Jacobs, and he has not really rewarded fantasy managers for that trust that they've had in him. And this is win or go home, like I said. Are you in on Devontae Booker this week if Jacobs doesn't go?
You know what? This is one of those classic, he busts the first week and then everyone benches him and he goes off in the second week, right? And he definitely has the opportunity because look at his volume against last week in that game. He had 16 carries and 2 targets on 32 snaps. I mean, the usage was what we expected, right? He got the carries. He was near 20 touches. That's what we said all week. The problem was the efficiency wasn't there, and he didn't find the end zone, and that obviously hurt you. Jalen Richard played 29 snaps, Theo Riddick 13. But again, the carry volume went to Booker, and you would anticipate him getting the work at the goal line should they get into that position here against the Colts. Now, the Colts, by the way, you might think, I'm just going to stay away. Very good defense, elite against the run. And they were earlier this season, but they've actually allowed the second most fantasy points to running backs over their past 4 games, and 3 of those 4 games were pretty poor. So it's a defense you can't exploit if you're a little shaky at that running back 2 spot or maybe in the flex spot. I think you can still start him. I know it doesn't feel great, but we've seen him execute on large volume earlier this season, including against Denver. So it is possible. I wouldn't completely throw in the towel. He's still at least a flex option.
Okay. All right. You heard it there from Mike Clay. Stefania, we got a pair of NFC East running backs that are dealing with some injuries of their own in both Ezekiel Elliott and Antonio Gibson. What can you tell us about both of these guys?
Well, Zeke was listed on the injury report on Wednesday with a calf issue. It's worth noting the Cowboys didn't practice, so it was an estimation. But the fact that he was present on the injury report with a new thing, this is not the hamstring issue that bothered him earlier in the year. Zeke hasn't really consistently looked like himself, and I don't know if this is a part of what's giving him some struggles the most recently, this calf issue, or not. But obviously, you want to watch what he's able to do the rest of this week. And then Antonio Gibson dealing with a turf toe injury. We saw it happen in the game on Monday night. We saw him get taped up, doubtful, did not return. And certainly reading the tea leaves does not sound like Washington is encouraged about his prospects for this weekend.
Yeah, that is a bummer. We will talk about J.D. McKissic a little bit later in the show, Mike, so we're going to save that for that. But Stefania, want to move ahead to Joe Mixon. It kind of looks like fantasy managers are going to have to wait another week to get Joe Mixon back in their fantasy lineup.
Yeah, I've already been on record on the show as saying I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see him again this year. Now, Zach Taylor said yesterday that he won't play this week, he won't practice this week, but he's not ruling him out for the year. I mean, they're definitely leaving the door open, and my question sort of becomes, why?
Why?
You know, these foot issues can be so problematic for guys for the rest of their career, and we saw him definitely go backwards. He went from doing some rehab work on the sidelines to going on injured reserve, where he essentially had his foot protected, not doing anything. He's still not able to practice at all. I mean, it just doesn't feel like this is a guy who should see the NFL field on a team that doesn't have its starting quarterback, that's dealing with a number of issues. Maybe he'll get out there by the end, but I'm certainly not having my fantasy championship ride on it.
Yeah, it does. It does kind of just feel like we're waiting for the Bengals to shut him down and feel like they're doing the right thing with their younger pieces. Obviously, they're not going anywhere this year. So while fantasy managers would probably love to have Joe Mixon back for a playoff run, it does seem like the right thing to potentially shut him down. But Mike, if that's the case, Giovanni Bernard is a running back that you could absolutely plug in to be able to play. But in these last couple of weeks without Joe Mixon, he has not instilled any confidence in fantasy managers when they've given him the shot.
Yeah, I think he is in for a bounce back week. I'll put that on the record. I think he gets back to track. Now, I have him RB24, so I'm not saying like he's top 12 play. You have to start him. But think about this. All right. So 10 or fewer fantasy points in four straight, but he's still over 10 carries and over four targets a game. So the volume's okay for a player like that. He can still produce on that sort of volume. But here's who they face in those four games where he struggled. The Giants, Washington, Miami, and Pittsburgh. They rank 11th, 21st, 30th, and 31st against running backs. So no top 10 defenses against running backs, and three of them are outside the top 20. So it's obviously been a very tough schedule, and that's notable because it's not a tough schedule this week, right? They're playing Dallas, sixth most fantasy points to running backs, top five in carries, rushing yards, receiving yards, yards per carry to running backs. They've struggled across the board against that position. So I think Bernard can get back on track. I know that he just feels like an auto bench right now. But again, it's very much like Booker, right? If you need an RB2 and you're in rough shape there, maybe you had Mixon or someone else is out, maybe you had Antonio Gibson, someone like that, I still think he has a shot to have a good game here.
Okay. I got to tell you, you know how hard it will be for me to Giovanni Bernard into my playoff roster? A lot of it obviously has to do with roster construction and looking at how the rest of the team works out. But fingers crossed, man, that he can get back on track because he definitely has that backfield to himself right now without Joe Mixon.
So. Yeah, price plummeting in DFS too. So if you play at DraftKings, that's a way to, again, when people are afraid of a guy, that's when you want to kind of jump in if he's in a better situation than most people realize. So
love that.
You have options.
All right. Stefania, we're going to talk about Frank Gore now. Still in the concussion protocol, is that correct?
That is correct. But he was on the field, limited work on Wednesday. So it's always positive when a guy is back out there the first day of the week following the injury. Doesn't mean things can't change, but it's an early positive sign for the week.
Okay. We're going to talk about Ty Johnson as well a little bit later on in the show, so we're going to save some of that for then. But Stefania, we got a couple more players we want to talk about here. I got a pair of Lions I am desperately hoping are going to play on Sunday. DeAndre Swift and Kenny Galladay, please give me good news. Please.
Well, Kenny Galladay's still not practicing.
That's not good news.
I can't really help you there. And look, you know your team. They do not help us out. They do not give us much in the way of details about the injury. They just don't say much. Either a player shows up for practice and they put it on the injury report or not. And in the case of Kenny Galladay, he's just been absent for what feels like forever. I don't know how you would necessarily trust him, even if he was back out there this week, because it's been so long. It gives you an indication that the problem is definitely a little bit more serious. As far as DeAndre Swift, we know he had the concussion. Subsequent illness is how he's been listed on the injury report. He was out there doing limited work yesterday, so positive. But last time we were encouraged about him potentially coming back, he had a backward step with the illness. So we will see how the rest of the week plays out.
All right. Fingers crossed, because I would love to get DeAndre Swift into my lineup this week.
The Lions are competing for a playoff spot, right? They have arguably the hardest remaining schedule, but they're back in it.
Hey, if you can't do it the hard way, it's not worth doing it at all. That's what I always say.
I don't know. I would take an easier schedule.
I would also take an easier schedule. Yes. Yes, I would. All right, Stefania, let's move ahead really quickly to Matthew's Washington football team, where Terry McLaurin pops up on the injury report.
Well, he's been dealing with an ankle issue. This is not new. And I think that he has been routinely limited during the week. And I don't put a whole lot of stock in this. I definitely think he's going to be available for Washington this weekend.
Well, that is a bummer. I'm sure that we will talk about a couple of other Washington football team options that you have in case Terry McLaurin does not go. But Stefania, we're going to move ahead to your 49ers. As if we needed another person to talk about with injury, Deebo Samuel did not practice on Wednesday. What's the latest on him?
I think this is more protective measure than anything else. The 49ers have to be conservative with guys who've spent a lot of time on the injury report this season, and Deebo is clearly a key to their offense when he's there. And I think this is one practice early in the week. I'm not overly concerned about it. If I get more concerned as we get to Friday, I will definitely tweet about it.
Okay. All right, we got a couple of Titans, too, that we have questions on. A.J. Brown and Jonnu Smith are on the injury report. Stefania, any reason for managers to be concerned about their Week 14 availability?
No, I think A.J. Brown is another one who's had sort of the benefit of this rest often early in the week, ever since he had that bone bruise to start the season and missed multiple weeks. I think they've been careful with him. Jonnu Smith, he's a little bit more concerning because he has a knee issue that was there and then seemed to worsen after this weekend. So I would be a little bit concerned about Jonnu Smith. Maybe look for an option there.
Okay. All right, Stefania, we got one more player we're going to talk about with you, and that's Daniel Jones, obviously limited on Wednesday. Any chance the Giants are going to get their starting quarterback and help that offense this week?
I think they're encouraged, and he has a real chance to play, but everything is going to be dependent on what he does in practice and how he feels the day afterward. So this could come down to a very late in the week decision. I mean, obviously they want to have an idea of who their starter is going to be before Sunday morning. It's not like some of the other skill positions, but I do think that he has a good shot. Look, he was out there doing a little bit of work last week, which was earlier than we expected. He was in practice to start the week, and it's all going to come down to whether he can move well enough to protect himself and prove that he can throw the ball effectively too, that it's not going to be compromising from a football standpoint as well beyond the hamstring standpoint.
Absolutely. Fingers crossed, because I just think the Giants, obviously, is a better team with Daniel Jones out there. There's a lot of skill position players in that offense. We would love to have Daniel Jones throwing them the ball rather than Colt McCoy. No offense to Colt McCoy.
I was going to say, I think it's worth noting, like, I'm not saying he's going to be 100%. I don't think it's this balance of, can he be safe enough to not risk a more serious setback and still perform well for the team and still continue to progress as far as his hamstring injury goes as the weeks go forward? Because it certainly wouldn't do them any good to put him back out there.
Right.
And then have him be forced out. If they were to continue to progress, maybe even get a postseason berth, you want him healthy then. So if there's a real question mark, I'd see him sitting out this week. But if he's able to continue to push forward, then he'll play.
Okay. All right, we're going to talk about one more quarterback from the NFC East. And Mike, that is the Philadelphia Eagles' Jalen Hurts.
What?
Who's going to draw the start this week. Carson Wentz moves to the bench. I just want to do a quick download of how you feel like this is going to affect that Eagles offense with Jalen Hurts under center.
Yeah, I think it'll be a little different. In fact, it's more of a shift to perhaps a Taysom Hill sort of player who's going to be on the other side. So it's going to be kind of fun to watch these two go at it, Taysom Hill against Jalen Hurts in this game. I have him 21st on my board, first of all. So I'm not, you know, some patience here with him. We'll see how he does.
You're not just immediately throwing him out there and you're starting to line up?
I don't think so, especially in the fantasy playoffs, maybe in a two quarterback league, but they are facing the Saints, of course. So 6 fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. I will say this though, they have not faced a running quarterback yet, which is interesting. So keep that in mind. This is going to be new for the Saints defense. But in terms of how it changes, I'm hoping that it'll open up some running lanes for Miles Sanders. You know, we've talked about that before. We're running quarterbacks, you know, just based on design running plays, which I'm sure they've been working on all week in this, as they prepare for this game. Perhaps it'll open up some big plays for Miles Sanders, and he certainly needs that to get back on track. Passing volume will be down, I would imagine. They'll still be, I think, a pass-first offense. I think they'll trail in this game. We all agree on that, I would imagine.
Yep.
And that's going to lead to plenty of throwing the football, but he will scramble. He will run the ball at the goal line, and perhaps that bails out a decent fantasy day. Maybe he runs for 50 yards and 2 touchdowns like Taysom Hill has been doing. So a couple things to keep in mind. Miles Sanders, I think, is, and we'll get to him shortly, borderline top 20 running back. Dallas Goedert, borderline top 12 tight end. Otherwise, I don't think you start any of these guys.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lower volume pass offense. They may not score much against this red-hot Saints defense. So it's going to be interesting, and I liked him a lot. I liked him a lot coming in, super efficient at Oklahoma, throwing the ball last year, and we know he could do a ton with his legs. So I can't wait to see, as a fan, I can't wait to see this play out. As an analyst, I can't wait to see this play out. It's going to be very interesting, but, I mean, talk about a tough first assignment against
the Saints.
A Saints defense that has been unbelievable the past couple of months.
And I just want to say really quickly, and I know, I hope everybody else echoes this, I'm sure that you guys do, but like, I still love Carson Wentz. I feel so bad for that guy. Like, he has been so good, and he has gone through so much. He's put his entire heart out there on the field to try and find ways to be good for this team. I really hope that there's another chance and that this is just, he's got a little bit of a rut and that he can find his way out of it.
Yeah, I agree with you. But and on that note, I mean, I think they still made the right decision.
I do.
Because
I do
even
too.
If he's playing, it doesn't matter if he's playing the best ball of his career. They can't score. They can't put the ball down the field. Whether it's his fault or not, you have to change something up. And now you have a more dynamic quarterback, and maybe he gets this offense back on track. So I think it's a smart move by them. You know, we'll see how it plays out in fantasy for sure. The nice thing is, though, it's not like the Saints where you now like it just crushed Alvin Kamara, like with Taysom Hill. You already weren't starting most of these guys.
Right.
You know, so even if Wentz was playing, you're still nervous about the tight ends here and you're not playing the receivers right now. And Miles Sanders is already struggling. This could only help based on what they have done as of late.
Can't get much worse, unfortunately.
Right.
Exactly. So, all right, we're going to talk about a couple of bounce back teams on the other side. But first, Mike, I want to know, do you own or rent your home?
I sure do.
Sure you do. And I'll bet it can be real hard work too, but do you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around the house. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Businesses have had to be flexible this year, from working remotely to pivoting their business models for long-term survival and growth. If you're in charge of hiring for your business, these pivots have made your job even more challenging, especially if you have to hire for brand new roles. Thankfully, there's one place you can always count on to make hiring faster and easier, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job boards with one click. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. It's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010.
06010.
06010. Nailed it. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. There it is. I mean, spell out the letters too. You got that?
No, you're good.
You got it. Okay.
You got it.
Let ZipRecruiter take hiring off your plate so you can focus on growing your business. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. I got it the last time.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
You absolutely nailed it the Everything. Last time. I'm glad you finally learned the zip code for where you've been working for the last 4 years.
Well, I'm glad you're paying attention when I talk for once.
Oh, wow. I love you so much. This is why I love doing the show with you. All right, let's talk about a couple of bounce back teams, Mike Clay. Yep. We're going to start with the Seahawks because it almost feels like there's nowhere else for them to go but up. And Russell Wilson seemingly has to be a top 5 quarterback, but when you look at it, only 4 touchdown passes over his last 4 games. That's 139 attempts that he's had. Just talk me out of any confusion or like that don't get cute scenario of like you're starting Russell Wilson against the Jets. End of story.
Yeah, you said it right at the end there. I can spell that one for you. J-E-T-S, Jets, okay. Jets, right? That's the key in this matchup for sure. He's QB3 on my board. I do think he'll get back on track. Look, I mean, you're exactly right. He has fallen off. He was QB2 in fantasy during weeks 1-8, and that was with a bye in there. Since that point, since week 9, he has no weekly finishes better than 12th, and he's QB12 in fantasy. So he has been disappointing, but he's still top 5 in passing yards, top 5 in rushing yards. He has 33 total touchdowns this season. We still have a quarter of the season left to go. But again, even though he has fallen off a little bit, the volume's there. They're still passing the ball plenty, and they're facing the Jets, 3rd most fantasy points to quarterbacks, top 5 in passing yards and passing touchdowns. They've also had 5 rushing touchdowns. We know that he can help in that department to their 4th most in that category as well. So I think he will get rolling this week.
Okay. Speaking of rushing touchdowns, I want to go to Stefania here. Stefania, Pete Carroll said that Chris Carson is not quite 100% yet. What kind of expectations should fantasy managers have given what Chris Carson is dealing with this week?
Well, I also want to point out that he said that he thought that this week he'd be back to his full self in terms of the normal workload. And we already saw a shift towards that last week. What Pete Carroll's talking about is something that's very common, which is a guy is out there playing. And we talked about this, that to the eyeball test, Chris Carson looks like he's running like Chris Carson. There don't appear to be any limitations, but he's had some soreness in the foot after he's been playing. And that is typical when you're coming off an injury like the one that he had. If you look at last week's workload, so Carlos Hyde was banged up with a turf toe injury, and he remains on the injury report as well. But Carlos Hyde had 16 touches, 110 yards total in that touchdown. The week prior, he obviously had fewer touches, but specifically to the rushing attempts, of the 16 touches this past week, 13 were runs compared to only 8 the week before. So, you know, he was definitely not used in direct run plays 2 weeks ago the way he was last week, and now I expect to pick it up again, especially in this this game plan against the Jets. So he still played more than 50% of the snaps. He's back to what's close to his normal amount of time on the field, but they just haven't been relying on him on the focal point of the run game, and I think that you're going to start to see that now. So Chris Carson is improving. He's getting back to his normal self. I think Carlos Hyde is still more banged up with the turf toe than Chris Carson is, and I think you're going to start to see Seattle let the reins loose a little bit more on Carson.
Okay. Mike, all I'm going to say real quick, Chris Carson's a top 10 play for both of us. If he plays on Sunday, he's in our fantasy lineups.
Yeah, Jets have been better against the run lately, but yeah, weeks 1 through 5, he was the top 5. He was the number 5 scoring fantasy running back, and the Jets, even though they've been good against the run lately, they do give up a lot in the passing game to running backs, most catches to running backs. So he had 6 targets last week. He can help you out there too.
It seems really obvious that you're going to start both of these wide receivers, but I just want to ask, is there any reason why we should have concern on either DK Metcalf, or not concern, lowered expectations on either DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett this week?
Not against the Jets, right? I mean, in fact, I feel like every week we're like, DK Metcalf, you know, you're still going to start him. You still feel good, but he kind of has a tough matchup. He's facing a good corner. That's not the case this week.
Yeah.
Jets are in deep trouble at corner. They've been for quite a while. You look at the past 8 weeks, 5th most fantasy points to receivers, 12th most to the perimeter, 4th highest yards per target, 4th highest catch rate. You name it. They have struggled. They're missing a lot of personnel. They might get Bless Austin back. He was activated from IR, but nonetheless, even he was struggling earlier this season. So Metcalf, fire him up. Lockett, I know that he's been down as of late. He's still 18th on my board. Again, pretty good matchup. Jets 3rd most fantasy points to the slot, most over the past 8 and 4 weeks too. So they have been really bad inside. That's where Lockett primarily aligns. So Lockett and Metcalf, both good to go.
Can you tell me the most common player on playoff fantasy teams this year?
I can, because I'm staring at it.
Because it's on the note.
But I don't know if I would have guessed this. It would have been on my short list. But yes, Justin Herbert. Right?
Justin Herbert is the most common quarterback on playoff teams this season, 4th most popular overall. I just want to say this for me. I have full confidence in rolling Justin Herbert out despite the last 2 weeks of being tough games for him. I am starting him in my fantasy playoff matchups. I am not concerned whatsoever about Justin Herbert. Mike, are you rolling with Herbert this week too?
I am. He's QB6 for me. He had 2 or more touchdowns and was a top 10 quarterback in 7 straight games before the past 2. And they were against Buffalo and New England, who, again, I know they've been kind of all over the place in terms of how good they've been defensively this season, but generally pretty good. Pretty good schemes. And, very, you know, Sean McDermott and Bill Belichick running those defenses are fantastic coaches, and obviously found a way to, you know,
shut him down.
Confuse the rookie or cause problems for the rookie. So, I mean, but again, those were his first 2 poor games. It's a high volume pass offense. They're throwing it plenty since he has taken over. And of course, they're facing the Falcons, who have allowed the most fantasy points to quarterbacks this season. They're struggling in every category. So, yeah, I think he'll get rolling. And I hope he does, because I made in one of my dynasty leagues, I traded for him a couple weeks ago, right before this slump started. I need him to get going.
Okay.
So, personal, maybe a little personal agenda there, but.
Any concern about Austin Eckler? Or can we just basically copy-paste all the stuff that you said about Justin Herbert right onto Austin Eckler?
Well, you know what? I don't know if you could copy-paste it. And the reason is the Falcons are really good against running backs. So 7 straight really good games defensively against the running back position, allowing 12.9 fantasy points per game to running backs during that span. That's not just number 1 running backs. That's running backs as a whole. Each game, they've allowed around 13 points a game. They haven't faced a ton of volume in terms of carries against them, which is where perhaps this bails him out in this matchup, because they're mid-pack in running back and receiving production to running back. So though they have been really good, as long as that's where he does his damage, right? He has 25 targets in his past 2 games.
Yep.
As long as he keeps getting that volume, I think he can have a decent day. He's RB6 on my board. The volume's been good scoring offense for the most part. So not everything applies from Herbert to Eckler, but I still think he's a good. He'll bounce back.
Yeah, real confident in him this week. Same confidence in Keenan Allen for me. We both have him as a top 5 wide receiver. Again, if Justin Herbert struggles, it makes sense that Keenan Allen is going to struggle. And if we think that Justin Herbert's going to get back on track, I'm all in on Keenan Allen again this week.
Yeah, I agree. The 10-plus targets in 6 of his past 7 games. I mean, even last week when he had a down game, he had 11 targets. So, you know, the same things that apply to Herbert having a plus matchup. I think that's really the key here for Keenan Allen. A good situation here against Atlanta. Should be good to go.
Okay. And Hunter Henry, I feel like there has been a little bit of a letdown with the expectations from the start of the season for what Hunter Henry is. But because that tight end position is just so unbelievably bad this year, he's still a guy that you can absolutely start in your fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. Prior to this dud that he just had, 6 or more targets in 4 straight games, had 67 plus yards or a touchdown in 3 of those outings. So he was really starting to peak. Remember, like a month or so ago, we were like, you know what? The volume's there. He's about to take off. And he did, and then he just took a random nosedive last week. Falcons, by the way, 6 most fantasy points to tight ends, top 5 in catches, receiving yards, yards per target, and completion percentage allowed. So Henry, tight end 6 for me. I think he gets rolling here.
Okay. We're going to talk about some players and whether or not you can roll them out there in your starting fantasy lineups this week. But first, after a long summer, the wait is officially over. College football is back, and so is an all-new season of your favorite Dr. Pepper-obsessed college football town. That's right, we're talking about Fansville, everybody. So brace yourself for all the on-the-field football drama and off-the-field Dr. Pepper flavor your eyes and taste buds can handle. Because even though you can't be at the stadium, you can still dress, cheer, and drink Dr. Pepper like a true fan. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. All right, before we get to that, Stefania, we want to come to you for an update around the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, breaking news. J.J. Stankovic of NBC Sports Chicago reporting the Bears say they've closed Hallis Hall and paused in-person football activities today due to a positive COVID-19 test. So no identity and no indication of whether that's player or personnel, but this is routinely what happens when there's a positive test. They try to do everything remotely and do their due diligence on contact tracing, et cetera, before they resume. So that is just coming in 15 minutes ago.
Wow. So obviously something we're going to have to continue to monitor over this weekend. If anything were to happen there, obviously David Montgomery and Allen Robinson are two guys that are started in basically every fantasy matchup that you could think of. So something that we'll continue to monitor. Check out everyone's social feeds at Stefania_ESPN. I'm sure she will have the latest with everything at Mike Clay NFL for any updates, if any changes or things happen with that game. And from now, we're going to move forward with, can you start them? There are no second chances here in the fantasy playoffs, Mike Clay. You're starting guys that need to have high floors and high ceilings. You need points this week.
High floors and high ceilings.
I want all of it.
Yeah.
Give me everything.
Do they exist? Like Christian McCaffrey.
Yes. Daniel Dopp. Yes.
Daniel Dopp.
Yes. High floor, high ceilings.
Ceiling. Well, okay. Anyway.
All right. Let's talk about, we're going to start this with Ryan Tannehill. And I feel like, indulge me for a second. I feel like we kind of bailed on the Ryan Tannehill as a set it and forget it top 10 quarterback after a couple of tough weeks against the Bears and the Colts earlier this season. But in his last 3, he had 21, 19, and 27 fantasy points. Mike Clay, I am back on the Tana wagon. Are you jumping on with me?
Is that an official name?
It is now.
It is?
Yes.
I like it. I'm on board with that one. So, look, I'm a QB12 here, right? So okay. You're always going to have the risk of low volume. That always makes me a little nervous with quarterbacks and run-heavy offenses. But look, I think you can go start. Like, I have him 12th, but he's very close to a couple other guys. He might be your best option. I'm totally fine with that. Against Jacksonville here, to your point, 3 straight top 10 fantasy finishes. He is 7th for the season, believe it or not. So he's been terrific. His numbers are crazy. If you think about, I tweeted this the other day, his 27 games with the Titans, including the playoffs, 60 total touchdowns, 11 interceptions.
Wow.
I mean, he has been really good. There's been almost no drop off from last year. A little efficiency regression to the mean, but he's still playing at a very high level, and the production has been there. Another one, this is hard to believe. The Titans, where do you think they rank in offensive touchdowns per game?
They rank in the top third of the league.
They're third.
Wow.
Actually third. They are third. 3.5 per game. That's how good that offense has been, believe it or not. And again, they're playing Jacksonville this week, which is another reason to bump him forward. It's a great matchup. 4th most fantasy points to quarterbacks, top 5 in passing yards, passing touchdowns. And that's despite the 17th most pass attempts. So they're giving up a ton of production despite being kind of mid-pack in terms of volume, allowing 8.2 yards per attempt. That is worse in the NFL. And that's really the category where Tannehill has a lot of success. So like him here. Again, the only reason he's not higher than 12th is just because they could go super run heavy if they're ahead in this game. And that keeps him in the 20 to 25 pass attempt area. That could, you know, cost him compared to what is a very deep quarterback position.
Sure. Okay. Smart lineup decisions is informed by IBM Watson. And this week we are looking at Corey Davis. He already has 5 boom weeks and was the top wide receiver last week. He's got a 20% chance to boom and score over 16 fantasy points in this spot. Mike, do you think he gets there this week against the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I do. I have him as a start. He's 25th on my board. Look, he's coming off this huge game against Cleveland, a career-high 35 fantasy points, and that's not kind of out of nowhere. He's been pretty good this season, at least. I think I talked about this on Sunday. It was his first top 20 fantasy week since week 8, right? The ceiling had not been there for a while, but his floor has been really good. He has 10 or more fantasy points in 9 of his past 10 games. So speaking of high floor, high ceiling,
yep.
He obviously showed us now that he can deliver in both of those categories. And you might think, well, okay, they played Cleveland, not great against the pass. They were down Denzel Ward. They haven't had Greedy Williams. Great matchup, but he's a great matchup again this week, right? So
yeah.
It's the same kind of situation. Jags, 5th most fantasy points to receivers, the 3rd most over the past month, the 13th most to the perimeter, the 3rd most in the over the past month in that category as well. So they've struggled as of late, and a part of that is personnel, right? The injuries have really crushed them as of late, and it's shown up with production from opposing wide receivers. Deontay Johnson, 23 fantasy points. This is all in the past 3 games. Chase Claypool, 16. Jarvis Landry, 28. Remember that big breakout game
yep.
a couple weeks ago? And then this past week, Justin Jefferson, 27. Adam Thielen, 22. So all good receivers they faced have had huge games against them.
Yeah.
Would not be surprising if Davis and A.J. Brown come through this week.
Okay. You actually just mentioned Jarvis Landry last week, 20.4 fantasy points, 62 yards receiving, and a touchdown, had 8, caught 8 of his 10 targets. Mike, he makes the wide receiver cornerback list, and whenever I see that he makes that list and the team he's playing is Baltimore, it almost always feels like it's a negative thing. Are you up or down on Jarvis Landry this week?
Well, look, I still have him as a start because he has a 30% target share in 6 okay. games without OBJ, right? The volume's just too high. And there's no situation where you're projecting a guy to have a 30% target share and benching that player.
Right.
It's just too high. It doesn't matter who they're playing. So he is a start. He has 10 or more targets and a touchdown in each of his past 2 games after those 3 straight bad weather games. But look, you're right. He's going to face Marlon Humphrey this week. He's one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, let alone a slot corner. They're so good at that spot. He plays inside most of the time. But the Ravens statistically are mid-pack against slot receivers. So, Humphrey's good, but they're still allowing some production there. I think, like I said, you start him.
Okay. I want you to indulge me really quickly on Cole Beasley. All right. I'm going to break down Cole Beasley really quickly. Last week, 28 points. Let's look at it as like this is a burger, right? 28 fantasy points, a nice brioche bun to set this. Okay. The week before that, 9.3, maybe throw a couple of pickles down, right? It's a condiment. Not a huge game, but 9.3 fantasy points. Week before that, 27.9. I mean, look how good and hearty and juicy that Angus burger is. Medium rare. It's absolutely great. 2 weeks before that, 6.9 and 4.4. You're talking lettuce and tomato on top of this burger. Now what you're looking for. And the week before that, 22.2 fantasy points. Another hearty brioche bun to stack on top of it. So, Mike Clay, my question is, when you're looking at Cole Beasley, are you going to get a hearty, protein-filled, brioche bun kind of a game, or are you going to get a condiment kind of a game from Cole Beasley this week?
Sorry, I'm ordering lunch. Just give me a
okay.
I'm hungry now, so now I have to like...
3 games out of his last 6. 3 games with 20 or more fantasy points. 3 games with single digits. I mean, which one is going to be the Cole Beasley that you're going to see on Sunday?
Yeah, and you know what's crazy is he's supposed to be a high floor slot target, high possession area, high percentage throws, and just deliver that high floor every week. He's been boom bust, absolutely boom bust throughout the season. Top 11 3 times, 45th or worse 3 times in his past 6 games, like you said,
yeah.
to your point. I mean, it's been all over the place. But he still has a 19% target share in a pass-heavy, high-scoring offense, right? That's
yep.
really key. And as long as that doesn't change, he's still going to be in the start conversation. He is facing the Steelers. That's a tough matchup. They've allowed the lowest completion percentage to receivers in the NFL. But I'm still, 32nd. I'm still feeling positive. Like I told you before the show, I've been watching Ted Lasso, so I'm feeling the positivity, right? It's wearing off on me. So I'm going start across the board. But we're 4 for 4 on starts.
All right.
Keep it going.
All right, let's keep it going. Let's talk about Kiki Cutie. We're actually going to throw it to Stefania here. Limited yesterday in practice with Kiki Cutie, and same with Brandon Cooks. What can you tell us about these Texans wide receivers?
Yeah, Cutie's on the injury report because of a knee issue. I don't think it's particularly serious. There's certainly been no indication that he's got a serious injury, but you got to remember, I mean, they lost Will Fuller. Kiki Cutie's role has stepped up. They need him this weekend, so having a limited workout to start the week doesn't surprise me. Brandon Cooks, sort of curious. He's listed because of two body parts, foot and neck. Remember, he had just come off a concussion evaluation. You know, the neck could be residual soreness from that. It's not totally clear. A little bit banged up, but again, no indication yet that either one of them, their status is in jeopardy for this weekend.
Okay. Mike Clay, I have Cutie at 34. You've got him at 42. Mm. Is he going to be our first sit column wide receiver?
Yes, he is. And I guess there goes the positivity, right? Because I have to say some negative things here, unfortunately. Look, he was actually third in snaps among Texans wide receivers in that game. Keep that in mind. Chad Hansen out of nowhere was number one. Brandon Cooks was second. He missed a few snaps with an injury. QT third. And then Stephen Mitchell barely played. Now, look, he still played 46 snaps. He was a huge part of the offense. That's great. This is a high-scoring Deshaun Watson-led offense. That's good news. And had a big game, right? 8 catches, 141 yards. A lot of that did come in that one big play, if I recall correctly. But here's the thing. Here's my concerns. I have two. He has 2 career touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And Sunday was his first career game with more than 13 fantasy points. Or excuse me, let me rephrase that. His first game with more than 13 fantasy points since week 5 of 2018. Right, so it's not like we have a resume.
It's been a minute.
In fact, he started off his career really good, and then he just fell out of favor with the team. It's a healthy scratch. They didn't really use him, and then he kind of comes out of nowhere for this huge game, kind of volume force. They didn't really have a choice. That's one. Two is they're facing the Bears. Right, yeah. Fourth fewest fantasy points of wide receivers. They've only allowed 9 touchdowns to that position. I know that they haven't been great as of late. Buster Screen's kind of struggled a little bit in the slot, so that helps QT a little bit, but those are my concerns, right? I could very well see him coming out and having 4 for 40, and that's it. No touchdown.
Sure.
That's why he's outside my top 40.
Okay. Let's move ahead to Brandon Ayuk, and I want to ask you this question. Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel have played 5 games with each other, okay? In those 5 games, Brandon Ayuk has outscored Deebo Samuel how many times?
I don't know. Tell me.
4 times.
4 times. Wow.
4 times out of 5 games, Brandon Ayuk has scored more fantasy points than Deebo Samuel. The last 4 games, he's had 17.5 against New England, 23.1 against Seattle, 19.7 against New Orleans, and 20.5 against Buffalo. Obviously, the problem is he gets Washington this week, but I feel like we're almost not bullish enough on Brandon Ayuk because there's been so much. I don't know why I don't love him more, Mike, and I want you to temper my expectations and tell me if I should love Brandon Ayuk more or if I'm actually in the right spot having him around that wide receiver 30 range.
I'm thrown off because you said Buffalo and then Bill, or you said Buffalo and then Bill, just mixing in the references. I thought maybe they were playing Buffalo. They're not. But anyway, they just did, right? They just played them. Anyway, look, I have him 33rd on my board. He is a start for me this week. I just think he's been too good, to your point, to bench him right now. 9 or more targets, 75 plus yards in 3 straight games, a touchdown in all of those. I mean, the production has been there. He's number 12 in scoring at wide receiver during his 9 active weeks this season. And look, I know this offense has been inconsistent in the touchdown department with Nick Mullins there. Deebo is back. It's a run-heavy offense. There's reasons to believe that maybe his production will fall off. But on the other hand, they're facing Washington, who they were dominant against wide receivers. We talked about it. You know, we started to notice this a month or so into the season, through midway through the season. They were really shutting down receivers. But that has gone away. The past 4 weeks, they've allowed 40-plus fantasy points to Detroit, Cincinnati, Dallas, and Pittsburgh. So
yeah,
they're not quite shutting that spot down. I think Ayuk and Deebo can have a good game this week.
If you look at the screen, you'll see that I have him as wide receiver 30. Mike, you also said you had him at 32 or 33. Field and Matthew do not feel the same. I would like to think that the couch today is actually on the right side of this one.
No question.
We will find out after Sunday.
No question about it.
All right, next one up here. We have T.Y. Hilton taking on the Raiders. I don't know what to do here with T.Y. Hilton. I understand he's had 2 good games in a row. Mike, there was too much the rest of the season to make me feel like I just cannot trust T.Y. Hilton when it's a set it and forget it. If this is your one chance at the fantasy playoffs, I'm not playing T.Y. Hilton this week.
Yeah, I'm surprised he has struggled this season. I don't know what all has gone into that, but what a great situation he was in with Phillip Rivers here, right? I mean, Paris Campbell looked like he was going to be good. The tight ends have produced that time, so they've spread those targets out. Obviously, Michael Pittman's been terrific, but I'm a little surprised by it. But look, he's gotten back on track the past couple of weeks, to your point, but they play Tennessee and Houston, right? So yeah. They're teams he's beat up on the past. They've had struggles against wide receivers. There's only two weekly finishes better than wide receiver 28 this season. So how good do you feel about that during the fantasy playoffs?
Not great.
Not great. He's finished 50th or worse in 8 of 11 games. He's been under 6 targets in all of those. So it's not even like you're assured a high floor based on what he's delivered this season. And he was 3rd in snaps. Again, he was well behind Michael Pittman and Zach Pascal in snaps. So, yeah, I didn't say it, but yeah, he's on the sit side of this for sure. He's outside my top 50 wide receivers.
Is that what NR means when we're looking at your rankings?
NR, yeah, not ranked. Yeah, he's actually 51st, just missed the cut. But again, the concern, there's more concerns than there are positives here despite the recent success. I just don't feel great about having him in my lineup right now based on his whole body of work this season.
All right, we got a couple of running backs we're going to speed through here real quickly. Okay. Jonathan Taylor had a stretch in the middle of the season that kind of lost him some trust with fantasy managers. The week 7 bye, which seems like it, when you put a bye week together with a couple of single-digit performances, whether it's right or wrong, when managers look back, it almost feels like a 4-week sample size because you couldn't use him that week and then the 3 weeks after that. Yeah. So, however, Jonathan Taylor has to be in your fantasy lineup this week, correct?
Yeah, 15th. He's the start for me. 15-plus fantasy points his past 2 games. They're going up against the Raiders, who are not very good against running backs, 4th most fantasy points allowed. So, yeah, fire up Taylor.
Okay, what about Ty Johnson? We talked about earlier in the show with Stefania Frankor, still working through that concussion protocol. Are you starting Ty Johnson if Frank Gore does not go this week?
Yeah, and you see the rankings on the screen if you're watching the podcast, and they assume Gore plays for now. If he's out, I mean, the volume should be great. You see last week, 22 carries, 104 yards, and 1 touchdown. Also had a pair of targets as well. Josh Adams ran the ball as well in that game. So Ty Johnson, if Gore is out again, he's to start. If Gore plays, I don't feel as good. Seahawks, by the way, top 10 in fantasy points allowed to running back, so low-key good matchup too.
Okay. Let's talk about Cam Akers, because last year, Sean McVay, if you remember correctly, made Tyler Higbee a thing for fantasy managers down the stretch and absolutely helped people win fantasy championships. Is there any chance that Cam Akers, that promising second-round pick from this year, can be that kind of guy to turn it on late in the playoffs for people?
Yeah, I think it's possible, but at the same time, we've seen guys spike at times. Malcolm Brown week 1, then Darrell Henderson spiked, and then Cam Akers has spiked now. Are they just going to go right back to Darrell Henderson this week if he comes out and hot? And he played well last week too, Henderson did. So maybe they go back to the well. Last week was Cam Akers' first career game over 24 snaps, so possibly the exception to the rule for sure. He has scored in back-to-back games. That's great. Actually, 3 games he scored in a row. But he only has 4 career targets, too. So you're not getting that high floor of him being involved in the passing game. So I say sit, Daniel. I'm still on the sit.
Still on the sit side.
Look, Lindsay Theory has told us all year long they're just sticking with this committee. I ask her like every week, and she's just like, nope, it's still a 3-headed attack. They're going to use all these guys. So unless somebody gets hurt, I think that it's not an ideal circumstance.
Okay. All right, let's talk about J.D. McKissick. We talked earlier in the show with Stefania about Antonio Gibson, and if he does not roll this week, J.D. McKissick feels like the kind of guy that you, again, with that talent that he has as a pass-catching back, especially in PPR leagues, somebody you can absolutely roll out there and feel confident in this week.
Yeah, so the 49ers are have allowed the 5th fewest fantasy points to running backs, which may scare you off. It should scare you off Peyton Barber here with Gibson out, but not really McKissick because they're mid-pack in terms of receiving production. So I say start for McKissick. He's a top 20 play with Gibson, again, unless there's some kind of miracle recovery for Gibson and he plays, which I don't think he will because, by the way, just a quick note, Washington protected Javon Leak off their practice squad, which is sometimes an indication that player will be promoted on Saturday and active for the game. You do that because you don't think your starter, Antonio Gibson, is going to play. So something to keep in mind there.
All right, put J.D. McKissick in the start section. And last one we have here, Logan Thomas. Spoiler alert, Logan Thomas is my tight end in the CSS DFS podcast lineup that I have. You can check that show out in your feed later today. Mike Clay, Al Zeidenfeld, and I are going to break down the entire DFS slate for week 14. But even in season long, Mike, Logan Thomas absolutely feels like a starter or somebody that's at least close to in a 10 or 12 team league that you could trust if you needed to.
Yeah, I think in 10 team leagues, you're trying to do a little better. 12 teamer, he probably squeezes in there. He's a great value in DFS, but I don't love him. I think if you can sit him, you should try to do it. Quick reasons why. 6 or fewer targets in 7 straight games before Monday's a huge game. Alex Smith has thrown 4 touchdowns in 5 games. Just not, he's playing well, but they're not getting enough passing touchdown volume. And the key here is the matchup against the 49ers. Fewest fantasy points, targets, and receiving yards allowed to tight ends. Only 3 touchdowns allowed this season. So very, very, very tough matchup for a tight end. not a great week to one.
Not a great week. All right, Mike, that was great. Bunch of good start sit options there for you guys. We're going to move on to week 14 trust or bust options. Mike, and we're going to start with Cam Newton, only three games this year with more than 200 passing yards. It's the rushing touchdowns that have kept him relevant as a quarterback. But this week, he takes on the Rams. It feels tough to be able to find a way to get Cam into your lineup as your starting quarterback.
Yeah, 23rd on my board, so I'm not even close to wanting to fire him up this week. He hasn't finished a week better than QB8 since week two, so where's the ceiling that you want in, you know, come fantasy playoff time? It's not there. Three passing touchdowns and seven rushing touchdowns in 8 games since his return from the COVID list. So again, you're just banking on that rushing production. And he's facing the Rams, who are one of the best defenses in the NFL, way better than I thought they would be this season after all their offseason personnel losses. But second fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks, fewest passing yards, only 14 touchdowns allowed. That's second fewest. They top 7 in interceptions and sacks, so they deliver in that department as well. They're allowing 9.9 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks over their past 6 games. I mean, they're just shutting down that position. I don't feel great about Cam at all.
Don't feel good at all.
No.
Nope. All right.
Not at all. Not good.
Cam makes the bust list for us, unfortunately. We're going to talk about Kyler Murray here. Stefania, I want to start with you because obviously dealing with that shoulder, is there any updates that should help give us confidence in Kyler Murray for this week?
Yeah, he's not on the injury report. I mean, not at
all. Hallelujah!
And so look, he's been dismissing this for a while. It was perhaps Cliff Kingsbury who sort of led you to believe the shoulder was more of an issue. And then basically what we saw, I mean, to the eyeball, he didn't look like himself. He hasn't been running the same either. And you don't know if that was for, you know, because they're worried about contact. Who knows? In any case, he is off the injury report. So they are indicating that means he's not missing any practice reps and he's not getting treatment for it. It's about the best you can get in terms of a clean bill of health. A clean bill of health.
Oh, I love the clean bill of health. I am a big fan.
Let's see if it translates to his performance on the field this week.
Fingers crossed, because I have him as QB9. Mike, you have him as QB7. We both have him as starters this week. This is one of those, like, don't get cute situations, right? Like, you need to have Kyler out. If you roster Kyler, he's probably gotten you to the fantasy playoffs at this point. You're trusting him this week.
Yeah, I think you'd have a hard time benching him for sure. Look, he's been under 175 passing yards his past 2 games, but they face New England and the Rams. So, again, you kind of understand that.
Yep.
The rushing attempts are way down, though, and you know, hopefully, you know, he, now that he's off the injury report, to Stefania's point, hopefully that rushing bounces back. That's really key for him in fantasy. And if that happens, he'll be good to go. Giants, though, fifth fewest fantasy points to quarterback. So it is a low-key tough matchup here for sure. But again, I think he's good enough.
Yeah.
And now that he's off the injury report, you feel good about him as a QB1.
Yep. Kyler goes into the trust column for us. All right, Mike Clay, we're going to talk about Miles Sanders, who makes Matthew Berry's love-hate list on the hate side of it. I want to talk about how after back-to-back single-digit outings, how is Miles Sanders not startable? Excuse me, I said that wrong.
How is
Miles Sanders startable in your fantasy playoffs given how poor it's been and now a shift at quarterback without us knowing what that offense is going to look like?
The only reason he is startable is because of the state of running back, which is not great right now, right? So that's for me why he's RB18. Also, he's super talented, and if someone's going to break out for a 60-yard touchdown or maybe see 5 or 6 targets out of nowhere and get perhaps 18 carries out of nowhere, it could be Miles Sanders, right? Not to mention that we talked at the top about Jalen Hurts and maybe with some design rushing plays, which is going to be new for the Saints who haven't faced a running quarterback and new for this offense, maybe it opens up some opportunities for big plays for Sanders. So, yeah, he has struggled. He hasn't scored a touchdown since week 5. He's been outside the top 30 his past 4 weeks. I mean, it can go on and on with the struggles. And also, the Saints defense is elite against running backs. So, there are a lot of reasons not to like him. I wrote, you know, deciding yes or no, should you trust him? I wrote maybe because I don't have an answer. Like he's
there's not a maybe column. I need a trust or a bust, Mike Clay.
In the middle, I would say you can't trust him. I don't think you could trust him. But at the same time, I still think that if you don't have a better option, you could take that flyer on Miles Sanders.
Okay, I'm gonna put him in the bust column. I have him at 27, and not because, listen, like you said, the reason the pathway for Miles Sanders to get in your fantasy lineup is because the running back situation is so bad this year. And the opportunities are going to be there for him. He's not really in a committee. I mean, I understand Boston Scott is still there, but he is the guy.
Jordan Howard now, yeah.
Why is Jordan Howard? Let's move on. I don't want to do this anymore. Kareem Hunt taking on Baltimore, another running back. 3 straight single-digit performances, and 5 of his last 7 games he's had single digits. Mm-hmm. Are you trusting Kareem Hunt this week?
No, I'm not trusting him right now. Again, I didn't trust him last week either. He's RB28 on my board. Look, he split snaps with Nick Chubb, who's been tremendous the past month since he's been back. He's been really good. Hunt is not. He's still only at 14 carries for 33 yards in that game and 24 yards on three targets. Check this out. Kareem Hunt, RB30 or worse, five of his past seven games. Four or fewer targets in 11 straight games. That one's hard to believe, but look it up. It is true. It's two touchdowns in his past eight games, and you're facing the Ravens. They're eighth fewest fantasy points allowed to running backs, only seven touchdowns allowed to backs all season. That's second fewest in the league. It is a very tough matchup, and he hasn't produced lately.
Mike, I've got Kareem Hunt at 19. You've got Miles Sanders at 18. I've got Miles Sanders at 27. You have Kareem Hunt at 28. What do you say we do a 2021 sushi bet here on which one of these players scores more fantasy points in week 14?
Done, because I already owe Matthew sushi, so then you can owe me sushi. We'll be good to go.
That'll be good to go. All right, I'm going to take the Kareem Hunt side of this. I think he scores more fantasy points in week 14 than Miles Sanders.
I say Miles Sanders outscores Kareem Hunt here in week 14.
Put it on the
board.
Dang, that was so hard.
Okay, that was awful.
So okay, Stefania, nobody asked you.
We haven't done that all year. Like
that was terrible. That was.
Thank
so
you.
Bad.
You know, the positivity was going real well on the show until we invited Stefania along.
You can't do something where you're supposed to be like together and be that out of sync. It's just
wow.
It offends my sensibility.
Wow.
Well, then that bet is void if Miles Sanders is.
Speaking of offending my sensibilities, Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley, true or false? He is barely a flex play and should be on your bench this week.
Yeah, I think he should be on bench, especially because the talk is that he's not fully healthy, right? And he was limited to the red zone and some third down work in that game. And if that continues, he's not going to pay off unless he finds the end zone. I have him 31st, puts him at least in the deep league flex situation, because if he gets goal line work, maybe he does score a touchdown and ends up in that top 40. So he's at least an option again in deeper leagues, but I don't feel great. I mean, he's averaged 3.3 yards per carry or worse in every single game since week five. It's week 14. So going back to week five. So
you say that to me, right? 3.3 yards per carry since week five. If you take Todd Gurley's name and picture off of his player card, you're going to look at him and say, I can't start this guy this week.
Yeah, and you could before. You could kind of justify because of the touchdowns and he was getting 15-plus carries a game, but that has not been the case the past three games.
Yep.
So now he's just well off the radar, you know, just... If you put him in your flex, you're just hoping, please get a goal line.
Please, yes.
Because that's all you have going.
Got to get in the end zone. And I kind of feel that same way about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who we're going to talk about next, taking on the Dolphins. Mike, you've got him at 21. I've got him at 18. Are you trusting him this week?
I mean, at 21, yes, I guess so, right? He's borderline RB2. Look, 8.8 carries and three targets per game in five games since Le'Veon Bell arrived. But he's top 10 in fantasy points at running back because he has four touchdowns. So it's a mid-pack matchup. He's still the lead back in an elite Patrick Mahomes-led offense. It's hard to bench that player. Like you mentioned the lead back in Patrick Mahomes.
I cannot.
Mahomes' offense, I don't think so.
Okay. Let's talk about same game, opposite side, Devontae Parker. We've really seen his fantasy value take one or two hits since the rookie quarterback took over under center.
I got you. You were sitting on that for a while, weren't you?
I was. I actually wrote it in the show notes so that I wouldn't forget how to say it. Are you letting him out there this week against a Kansas City defense that ranks second against wide receivers, Mike Clay?
Yes, I trust him. Look, down game last week against William Jackson, we talked about. That was expected, right?
Yep.
It's a very tough matchup. Jackson has been fantastic this season. So I think he gets back on track. Seven or more targets in five straight games, 8+ in three straight. Yes, to your point, the Chiefs very good against wide receivers, second fewest fantasy points allowed, near the bottom in receptions, receiving yards. It is a tough matchup, but he doesn't have that specific one-on-one matchup that worries me here. I think he'll get the target volume. I think he bounces back.
Okay. Devontae Parker goes in the trust column. All right, Mike, here's the scenario. It's Sunday morning. You're watching Fantasy Football Now. Inactives just came out at 11:30. The exquisite Stefania Bell just gave you everything you need to know about all the injury analysis for everyone you're playing. You're looking at the ESPN Fantasy app, setting your lineup. You've got a tight end situation. You've got Zach Ertz and Logan Thomas. Who are you starting this week?
I'm Logan Thomas.
You've got Zach Ertz and Noah Fant. Who are you starting this week?
Say that again?
Zach Ertz and Noah Fant.
Noah Fant. Pretty much everyone will be the other player.
Okay, now it's Zach Ertz or Hayden Hurst this week. Okay, Hayden so you're on the. You get the point here. Even though we love Zach Ertz, you want Zach Ertz to be a thing. There's just no way right now with what you've seen from him since he's come back and this Eagles offense that you can trust him this week. You just can't. You cannot put him in your fantasy.
Yeah, lineup. You see it on the screen. Tight end 20. I mean, he played his lowest snap share since week 17 of the 2017 season. last week, only 42%. Right now, Dallas Goedert is the number one. He played 51 snaps to the very few that Zach Ertz played last week. And he's even when he played earlier this season, he's still averaging under 8 fantasy points per game this season. You just cannot trust him right now. Not to mention, they made a quarterback change, and they have a tough matchup against Saints, who are outstanding against tight ends. 26 fantasy points allowed to tight ends over their past 7 games. 26 total. Saints shutting down that position. Ertz cannot be in lineups this
week. Cannot be in lineups this week. All right. That is going to do it for us for week 14. CSS DFS will be in your feed later today. Fantasy Football Now, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Do me a favor. Call someone that you just haven't talked to in far too long and tell them why you love them. We need a little bit more love in the world right now. I think that would be a fantastic thing to do. For Mike, Stefania, Kyle, Matt Harrington, our entire crew here, my name is Daniel. Don't forget to love each other. We'll see you guys in week 14. Fantasy, you're in the 06010.